Special Testimonies on Church Schools. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, December 15th, 1897. Dear Brother, in your letter you ask me serious questions and lay out propositions which are sensible and right. There should be schools established wherever there is a church or company of believers. Teachers should be employed to educate the children of Sabbath keepers. This would close the door to a large number who are drifting into Battle Creek, the very place where the Lord has warned them not to go. In the light that has been given me, I have been pointed to the churches that are scattered in different localities, and have been shown that the strength of these churches depends upon their growth in usefulness and efficiency. Building in Battle Creek. A large amount of the responsibility piled up in Battle Creek is not in accordance with the principles that the Lord has set before us. There should be fewer buildings erected in Battle Creek to call the crowds of people there. All those large buildings should not be crowded together as they are. They should have been placed in different localities and not in the very midst of one city. The various cities should have representatives of the truth in their midst. I cannot go contrary to the will of God and say, erect more buildings in Battle Creek, but I would say, build in other localities. There should be fewer interests centered at Battle Creek, and far more in other places where there is nothing to give character to the work of God. Missionary teachers. In all our churches there should be schools, and teachers in those schools who are missionaries. It is essential that teachers be educated to act their important part in educating the children of Sabbath keepers, not only in the sciences, but in the scriptures. These schools, established in different localities and conducted by God-fearing men and women, as the case demands, should be built upon the same principles as were the schools of the prophets. Special talent should be given to the education of the youth. The children are to be trained to become missionaries, and but few understand distinctly what they must do to be saved. Few have the instruction in religious lines that is essential. If the instructors have a religious experience themselves, they will be able to communicate to their students the knowledge of the love of God they have received. These lessons can only be given from those who are themselves truly converted. And this is the noblest missionary work that any man or woman can undertake. Essential studies. Children should be educated to read, to write, to understand figures, to keep their own accounts when very young. They may go forward, advancing step by step in this knowledge. But before everything else, they should be taught that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They may be educated line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But the one aim ever before the teacher should be to educate the children to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Obedience. Teach the youth that sin in any line is defined in the scriptures as transgression of the law. Sin originated with the first great apostate. He was a disobedient subject. He led the family of heaven into disobedience, and he and all who were united with him were cast out of the paradise of God. Teach the children in simple language that they must be obedient to their parents and give their hearts to God. Jesus Christ is waiting to accept and bless them if they will only come to him and ask him to pardon all their transgressions and take away their sins. And when they ask him to pardon all their transgressions, they must believe that he will do it. Children as missionaries. God wants every child of tender age to be his child, to be adopted into his family. Young though they may be, the youth may be members of the household of faith and have a most precious experience. They may have hearts that are tender and ready to receive impressions that will be lasting. They may have their hearts drawn out in confidence and love for Jesus and live for the Savior. Christ will make them little missionaries. The whole current of their thoughts may be changed so that sin will not appear a thing to be enjoyed, but to be hated and shunned. Small as well as older children will be benefited by this instruction, and in thus simplifying the plan of salvation, the teachers will receive as great blessings as those who are taught. The Holy Spirit of God will impress the lessons upon the receptive minds of the children, that they may grasp the ideas of Bible truth in their simplicity. And the Lord will give an experience to these children in missionary lines. He will suggest to them lines of thought which the teachers themselves did not have. The children who are properly instructed will be witnesses for the truth. Teachers who are nervous and easily irritated should not be placed over the youth. They must love the children because they are the younger members of the Lord's family. The Lord will inquire of them as of the parents, "What have you done with my flock, my beautiful flock?" Home should be a church. It is surprising to see how little is done by many parents to save their own children. Every family in the home life should be a church, a beautiful symbol of the church of God in heaven. If parents realize their responsibilities to their children, they would not under any circumstances scold and fret at them. This is not the kind of education any child should have. Many, many children have learned to be fault-finding, fretful, scolding, passionate children because they were allowed to be passionate at home. Parents are to consider that they are in the place of God to their children, to encourage every right principle and repress every wrong thought. Home training. If in their own homes children are allowed to be disrespectful, disobedient, unthankful, and peevish, their sins lie at the door of the parents. It is the special work of fathers and mothers to teach their children with kindness and affection. They are to show that as parents, they are the ones to hold the lines, to govern, and not to be governed by their children. They are to teach that obedience is required of them, and thus they educate them to submit to the authority of God. Qualification of teachers. In educating the children and youth, teachers should never allow one passionate word or gesture to mar their work, for in so doing, they imbue the students with the same spirit which they themselves possess. The Lord would have our primary schools, as well as those for older persons, of that character that angels of God can walk through the room and behold in the order and principles of government the order and government of heaven. This is thought by many to be impossible, but every school should begin with this and should work most earnestly to preserve the spirit of Christ in temper, in communications, in instruction, the teachers placing themselves in the channel of light where the Lord can use them as his agents to reflect his own likeness of character upon the students. They may know that as God-fearing instructors, they have helpers every hour to impress upon the hearts of the children the valuable lessons given. Defective teachers. The Lord works with every consecrated teacher, and it is for his own interest to realize this. Instructors who are under the discipline of God do not manufacture anything themselves. They receive grace and truth and light through the Holy Spirit to communicate to the children. They are under the greatest teacher the world has ever known, and how unbecoming it would be for them to have an unkind spirit, a sharp, harsh voice, full of irritation. In this, they would perpetuate their own defects in the children. Bible as a textbook. Oh, for a clear perception of what we might accomplish if we would learn of Jesus. The springs of heavenly peace and joy, unsealed in the soul of the teacher by the magic words of inspiration, will become a mighty river of influence to bless all who connect with him. Do not think that the Bible will become a tiresome book to the children. Under a wise instructor, the word will become more and more desirable. It will be to them as the bread of life and will never grow old. There is in it a freshness and beauty that attract and charm the children and youth. It is like the sun shining upon the earth, giving its brightness and warmth, yet never exhausted. By lessons from the Bible history and doctrine, the children and youth can learn that all other books are inferior to this. They can find here a fountain of mercy and of love. Spirit of God as an educator. God's holy, educating spirit is in His Word. A light, a new and precious light, shines forth upon every page. Truth is there revealed, and words and sentences are made bright and appropriate for the occasion as the voice of God speaking to them. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit as our enlightener. That Spirit loves to address the children and discover to them the treasures and beauties of the Word of God. The promises spoken by the great teacher will captivate the senses and animate the soul of the child with a spiritual power that is divine. There will grow in the fruitful mind a familiarity with divine things which will be as a barricade against the temptations of the enemy. Results of Christian Education. The work of teachers is an important one. They should make the Word of God their meditation. God will communicate by His own Spirit to the soul. Pray as you study, Lord, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. When the teacher will rely upon God in prayer, the Spirit of Christ will come upon him, and God will work through him by the Holy Spirit upon the minds of the students. The Holy Spirit fills the mind and heart with sweet hope and courage and Bible imagery, and this will be communicated to the students. The words of truth will grow in importance and assume a breadth and fullness of meaning of which you have never dreamed. The beauty and riches of the Word of God have a transforming influence upon mind and character. The sparks of heavenly love will fall upon the hearts of the children as an inspiration. We may bring hundreds and thousands of children to Christ if we will work for them. Enlargement of educational work. Let all to whom these words may come be melted and subdued. Let us in our educational work embrace far more than we have done of the children and youth, and there will be a whole army of missionaries raised up to work for God. I say again, establish schools for the children where there are churches, those who assemble to worship God. Where there are churches, let there be schools. Work as if you were working for your life to save children from being drowned in the polluting, corrupting influences of this life. New schools. Too much is centered in Battle Creek. I need not advise that the sound of the axe and hammer be heard in Battle Creek in erecting new buildings. There are places where our schools should have been in operation years ago. Let these now be started under wise directors. The youth should be educated in their own churches. In America, you can build 3 schoolhouses cheaper than we can build 1 in this country. It is a grievous offense to God that there has been so great neglect to make provision for the improvement of the children and youth when Providence has so abundantly supplied us with facilities with which to work. Associations of Children at School. Can we wonder that children and youth drift into temptation and become educated in wrong lines by their association with other neglected children? These children are not wisely educated to use their active minds and limbs to do helpful work. Our schools should teach the children all kinds of simple labor. Can we wonder, neglected as they have been, that their energies become devoted to amusements that do them no good? That their religious aspirations are chilled and their spiritual life darkened? Thousands in their own homes are left almost uneducated. It is so much trouble, says the mother. I would rather do these things myself. It is such a trouble. You bother me. The mother, a teacher. Does not mother remember that she herself had to learn in jots and tittles before she could be helpful? It is a wrong to children to refuse to teach them little by little. Keep these children with you. Let them ask questions and in patience answer them. Give your little children something to do, and let them have the happiness of supposing they help you. There must be no repulsing of your children when trying to do proper things. If they make mistakes, if accidents happen, and things break, do not blame. Their whole future life depends upon the education you give them in their childhood years. Teach them that all their faculties of body and mind were given them to use, and that all are the Lord's, pledged to His service. To some of these children, the Lord gives an early intimation of His will. Parents and teachers, begin to teach the children to cultivate their God-given qualities. Churches should have responsibility for their children. My brother, I feel deeply over the mistake of locating so many important interests at Battle Creek. There is a world to receive the light of truth. Had interests been located in cities where nothing is being done, the warning message would be given to other cities. You have asked me in regard to the schools being opened in our churches. I have tried to answer you. That light which has centered in Battle Creek should have been shining in other localities. Schools should have been opened in places where they are so much needed. This will provide for the children and youth who are drifting into Battle Creek. Let the church carry a burden for the lambs of the flock in its locality and see how many can be educated and trained to do service for God. Mrs. E. G. White. Schools. Christian schools. One reason why it was necessary to establish institutions of our own was the fact that parents were not able to counteract the influence of the teaching their children were receiving in the public schools, and the error there taught was leading the youth into false paths. No stronger influence could be brought to bear upon the minds of the youth and children than that of those who were educating them in principles of science. For this reason, it was evident that schools must be established in which our children should be instructed in the way of truth. In our schools, it was specified that the youth were to be taught in the principles of Bible temperance, and every influence was to be brought to bear upon them that would tend to help them to shun the follies of this degenerate age, which were fast making the world as a second Sodom. Evils of the secular school. In our institutions of learning, there was to be exerted an influence that would counteract the influence of the world, and give no encouragement to indulgence in appetite, in selfish gratification of the senses, in pride, ambition, love of dress and display, love of praise and flattery, and strife for high rewards and honors as a recompense for good scholarship. All this was to be discouraged in our schools. It would be impossible to avoid these things and yet send them to the public schools, where they would daily be brought in contact with that which would contaminate their morals. All through the world, there was so great a neglect of home training that the children found at the public schools, for the most part, were profligate and steeped in vice. In the system of education used in the common schools, the most essential part of the education is neglected. It is as follows, viz., Religion of the Bible. Test, number 31, P24. For the children. My subject principally was that the smaller children should not be neglected. This work is fully as essential as the work for the older pupils. For many years, my attention has been called to this phase of work. Schools should be established where children should receive proper education. From the teachers in the public schools, they receive ideas that are opposed to the truth. But further than this, they receive a wrong education by associating with children that have no training, that are left to obtain a street education. Satan uses these children to educate children that are more carefully brought up. Before Sabbath-keeping parents know what evil is being done, the lessons of depravity are learned. The souls of their children are corrupted. This subject has long been neglected. The first 7 or 10 years of a child's life is the time when lasting impressions for good or for evil are made. What is education? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The child should be educated to receive the truth in the heart. It should be given instruction which will lead it to see what constitutes sin. It should be taught that all sin is an offense toward God. The heart should be carefully guarded, for by giving the life of His dear Son, God has purchased the soul of every child. he would have the precious life that has been redeemed by Jesus Christ molded and fashioned after the similitude of a palace, that Christ may be enshrined as the King of the soul. Church schools. Is obedience to all the commandments of God taught the children in their very first lesson? Is sin represented as an offense toward God? I would rather that children grow up in a degree of ignorance of school education as it is today, and employ some other means to teach them. But in this country, many parents are compelled to send their children to school. Therefore, in localities where there is a church, a school should be established, if there are no more than 6 children to attend. A teacher should be employed who will educate the children in the truths of the Word of God, which are so essential for these last days, and which it is so important for them to understand. A great test is coming. It will be upon obedience or disobedience to the commandments of God. Intemperance is seen everywhere. Disregard for the law of God, rioting, and drunkenness prevail. Conference schools. Wherever there are a few Sabbath schools, let the parents unite together in providing a place for a day school, where the children of the various Sabbath schools can come together. Let them employ a Christian teacher, who, as a consecrated missionary, shall educate the children in such a way as to lead them to become missionaries themselves. Work while it is day, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Parents must gird on the armor, and by their own example, they must teach their children to be missionaries. Let the parents put forth unselfish efforts, and the Lord will work with their efforts as they perseveringly teach their children to bear responsibilities. As the children practice the Bible lessons, they will receive an education of the highest value. Wherever there are Sabbath keepers, there is a missionary field. Homeschools. If parents are not able to send their children to school, let them hire an exemplary religious teacher who will feel it a pleasure to work for the Master in any capacity, who will be willing to cultivate any part of the Lord's vineyard. Let mothers and fathers cooperate with the teachers and devote an hour daily to study, becoming learners with the children. Make the educating hour one of pleasure and importance, and your confidence will increase in the method of seeking for the salvation of your children. Your own spiritual growth will be more rapid as you learn to work for them. As you work in a humble way, unbelief will disappear. Faith and activity will impart to your experience ardor, assurance, and satisfaction that will increase day by day as you follow on to know the Lord and to make Him known. Your prayers will become earnest. You will have some real object for which to pray. If people would encourage the church in which they are members to establish small, humble school buildings in which to do service for God, they would accommodate their own children within their borders. We should have primary schools in different localities to prepare our youth for our higher schools. Church and home schools. The mother should be the teacher, and home the school where every child receives his first lessons, and these lessons should include habits of industry. Mothers, let the little ones play in the open air. Let them listen to the songs of the birds, and learn the love of God as expressed in His beautiful works. Teach them simple lessons from the book of nature and the things about them, and as their minds expand, lessons from books may be added and firmly fixed in the memory. But let them also learn, even in their earliest years, to be useful. Train them to think that, as members of the household, they are to act an interested, helpful part in sharing the domestic burdens, and to seek healthful exercise in the performance of necessary home duties. It is essential for parents to find useful employment for their children, which will involve the bearing of responsibilities as their age and strength will permit. The children should be given something to do that will not only keep them busy, but interests them. The active hands and brains must be employed from the earliest years. If parents neglect to turn their children's energies into useful channels, they do them great injury, for Satan is ready to find them something to do. Shall not the doing be chosen for them, the parents being the instructors? Cooperation of parents and teacher. When the child is old enough to be sent to school, the teacher should cooperate with the parents, and manual training should be continued as a part of his school duties. There are many students who object to this kind of work in the school. They think useful employment, like learning a trade, degrading. But such persons have an incorrect idea of what constitutes true dignity. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father, the commander in the heavenly courts, was the personal instructor and guide of the children of Israel, and among them it was required that every youth should learn how to work. All were to be educated in some business line, that they might possess a knowledge of practical life and be not only self-sustaining, but useful. This was the instruction which God gave to His people. The approval of God rests with loving assurance upon the children who cheerfully take their part in the duties of domestic life, sharing the burdens of father and mother. They will be rewarded with health of body and peace of mind, and they will enjoy the pleasure of seeing their parents take their share of social enjoyment and healthful recreation, thus prolonging their lives. Children trained to the practical duties of life will go out from the home to be useful members of society. Their education is far superior to that gained by close confinement in the schoolroom at an early age, when neither the mind nor the body is strong enough to endure the strain. The children and youth should have the lesson continually before them, at home and in the school, by precept and example, to be truthful, unselfish, and industrious. They should not be allowed to spend their time in idleness. Their hands should not be folded in inaction. Parents and teachers should work for the accomplishment of this object, the development of all the powers, and a formation of a right character. But when parents realize their responsibilities, there will be far less left for teachers to do in the training of their children.